Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokens and non-toking brothers of liberty. It is Thursday, May 26, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome back to beautiful legal potland Oregon, where it is gray with a continuing chance of wet, highs and lows near 45 plus or minus 7 degrees, as it usually is for about 6 to 8 months out of the year here. But back at the 26th floor condo and overlooking the south waterfront here in Portland, it's beautiful, it's green, but it is gray. We'll be here for today and tomorrow. Then Sunday, I make my way back to the Phoenix Scottsdale area. We'll be putting in some work there at the Cannabis Radio headquarters, picking up some of the shipments that have come my way from both fans and sponsors alike while I've been out on the road. And then the next road trip is out to Aspen, Colorado for the Aspen Normal Legal Seminar, which I've been so privileged to go to over the past few years and have enjoyed it every time I've gone. The folks there at Normal have been very good to me. And speaking of that, we're going to do more today from the Normal conference and lobby days. I am just stunned. I got in yesterday and the plane got down and the baggage was late and just a whole bunch of things conspired to make it so I couldn't do a show yesterday. And as I sat around and was getting some of the electronic works done here at the studio, I was just amazed at how quickly the story of Congressman Dana Rohrabacher having outed himself as a cannabis consumer was spreading throughout the media. It's so far been picked up on CNN and the Washington Post and Fortune magazine and so many others. So I am just stunned because it's probably the most I've ever gotten as far as any story that I've covered in the media. And it just feels really good to have been there. We are going to play coming up in the Cannabis Radio News. We will bring you the entire remarks from Congressman Rohrabacher there at Capitol Hill on Monday morning. My recorder was right there in front of him to be able to pick up his remarks, and we'll bring you the minute and a half or so that he spoke about his love of surfing and how long he was a surfer and how it harmed his shoulder. And he found some help with a cannabis infused wax product. Also coming up on the show today, we are going to have for you a new look at a study that shows us some information about adolescent problems with cannabis and how the legalization has impacted or not impacted that. Coming up in our Government at Work segment, we'll be hearing from the one representative we didn't hear from on my Monday show, the first female representative in Congress to speak to the Normal Assembly, and that was Congresswoman Susan DelBene from Washington State. So she spoke, and we've got that coming up in Government at Work. And then coming up in the Radical Rant, we're going to have for you my coverage of the Ohio medical marijuana bill. It made it through the Senate, and it's on its way to Governor John Kasich's desk. Looks like he will sign that. And so we may have the 26th medical marijuana state, but I'll give you some of the details. We'll just see just how medical this medical marijuana is. All right, stay tuned. I've got a whole bunch of stuff here to fix at the studio. I'm kind of doing it live as usual. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show exclusively on CannabisRadio.com. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Get ready to hear something good about cannabis.
I give you Jasmine Huff.
Tell us a little bit about Jasmine. Give us the good news about how you've gotten to where you are today.
Like all good children, I rejected my parents' values and ran off to become a capitalist in New York City and did a lot of work with an organization called Women 2.0. Looking at the cannabis industry, I said, you know what? Here we have a brand new industry. It's going to be a $1 billion industry. And the rules of who leads this industry and who funds this industry haven't been written yet.
Good news, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
Welcome to CannabisRadio.com. You're listening to the live feed.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, May 26, 2016. Washington, D.C. Cannabis Radio News broke the story of Representative Dana Rohrabacher admitting to use of a medical marijuana product within the past month. The story has been picked up by The Washington Post, Fortune, and CNN. Here's Rohrabacher's full admission, recorded Monday morning on Capitol Hill.
I haven't been able to go surfing for a year and a half, and I've been in severe pain because I spent all this time doing that, which I can barely do now. And it wore all the cartilage out here, you know. So let's say about 30 years of really good surfing, and now I'm in pain because I've got arthritis. Yeah, it was worth it. I'll tell you, I'd do it again, okay? Especially if there's something we can do about it. And I went to one of these hemp fests or something like that. They had San Bernardino, or anybody's going to go to that. And so this guy is showing me the medical things and all that, and he says, and you should try this. And it's a candle, and you light the candle, and it waxes in there, it melts down, then you rub it on you, whatever you got problems with. And you know what? I tried it about 2 weeks ago, and it's the first time in 2 years, or now first time in a year and a half, that I had a decent night's sleep because the arthritis pain was gone. And now, don't tell anybody I broke the law. actually, you know, they'll bust down my door, and you know, and take whatever's inside and use it for evidence against me, whatever it is. The bottom line is that I don't know. There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
Columbus, Ohio. By a margin of just 3 votes, the Ohio Senate has approved a medical marijuana bill that includes access to whole plant cannabis, but forbids smoking. Pressure was placed on the legislature by the campaign for a citizen initiative to legalize medical marijuana that included the right of patients to cultivate their own cannabis. The Senate-approved bill forbids home cannabis cultivation, but does allow dispensaries to sell actual marijuana, which may be vaporized but not smoked. Ohio will become the 26th state to legalize medical marijuana in some form, should Governor Kasich sign the bill as expected. Salem, Oregon. Any location with a liquor license is a public space where marijuana may not be consumed. That's the reminder from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, siding with actions taken earlier this month by Portland's Office of Neighborhood Involvement to crack down on public events with free marijuana giveaways. Oregon also recently amended its Clean Air Act to include prohibitions on cannabis smoke or vapor in any public space. OLCC also forbids gifting of marijuana at any space where there is, quote, a cover charge, paid admission, donations, tip jars, raffles, fundraisers, or bartering, end quote, according to the Oregonian. Greenville, North Carolina. A medical doctor who is a North Carolina state representative is co-sponsoring a bill to legalize medical marijuana in the Tar Heel state. There is currently a law allowing the use of cannabidiol oil in the state, but it may sunset in 2021. The bill would allow for the use of marijuana to treat terminal or chronic illnesses and would tax marijuana at $8 per ounce. Patients would not have the right to cultivate their own cannabis under the bill. Washington, D.C. Since the beginning of state marijuana legalization in 2012, federal sentencing for marijuana trafficking has taken a nosedive. For 3 straight years, figures from the United States Sentencing Commission show a drop in prosecutions for marijuana trafficking under federal law. This does not include data on state and local prosecutions for trafficking, and there aren't enough data to conclude why the drop has occurred since 4 states have legalized marijuana. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, May 26, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Well, today in the Cannabis Focus, I've got to talk about the experience being there on Capitol Hill and breaking a national news story. It was my first time doing such a thing, and I at first didn't even recognize the magnitude of what we had been listening to, since I've spoken with Congressman Rohrabacher on a couple of occasions and gotten the chance to interview him. And he's very jovial. Earlier in his speech talked about how he'd been a lifelong surfer and actually showed us the puka shells that he still wears underneath his suits on Capitol Hill. He's still a surfer through and through. So you know the guy's got to have some clue about the realities of marijuana, that he's not going to be some sort of troglodyte on the issue. And in fact, as he was discussing it, he even referenced back to being a surfer, and something like the worst that could happen is, you know, smoking a joint and listening to the Doors. And the way he phrased it, it was very sly, that, you know, he was talking about himself, that he had come up in that era and had experienced that culture. So that was a really good feeling. And those of us activists that were in the room, you know, just kind of were beaming to hear that. And it took me a second before I realized, wait a minute, this is a sitting Republican congressman who just admitted to medical marijuana use, to breaking federal law on Capitol Hill. And sure enough, I grabbed my recorder to run out of the room, and Alan St. Pierre caught me, the executive director of Normal, and said, wow, you're going to break some news today. And this is the chance I got to speak with Alan. Here's what he had to say. So we're talking with Alan St. Pierre on the breaking news of Congressman Rohrabacher admitting to at least topical medical cannabis use for arthritis in his shoulder. You were saying this is like the first in how long?
This is definitely the first legislator in Congress in at least 30-some-odd years who is acknowledged to using marijuana illegally, notably for medical purposes. Back in the early 80s, there was a congressman, I believe Stuart McKinney, who might have been from either Connecticut or Georgia, and he and a guy named Newt Gingrich introduced a bill, and it was all about his need to use medical marijuana, even back in the 1980s, and a lot of people know about that infamous Gingrich bill and how much he was an advocate for legalizing medical marijuana. He even wrote to the Journal of American JAMA, writing to them, insisting that marijuana be legal for medical purposes only. And so I was shocked. I turned to the staffer and said, did Congressman Rohrabacher just say that he uses a cannabinoid, an illegal cannabinoid? And he said, yeah, and we've never heard him say that before.
Wow. Breaking news here on the Russ Belville Show. So having five congresspeople address us today, you know, last year we had Congressman Cohen. We had one. How many next year? 10? 20?
So I would suspect, in the laws of physics, you try to double everything, right? And so I would suspect next year we would like to have 10, and we'd like to have, obviously, at least another Republican. It was great to have Dana come here and give us another perspective. And I just wish I could take a hair off his head and clone him. I could just walk up to Jeff Sessions and try to flip some of these guys.
Somebody,
yeah, I mean, so he's really... It's great that he was able to really flip about 60 Republicans to come on board. So this was great today.
All right. Well, we'll get back to this lobby day here from Normal Conference 2016. Yeah, so we were all quite shocked. And I have yet to see any response from Congressman Rohrabacher's office. I know that CNN has picked up the story, and Washington Post. Fortune had mentioned that they reached out to his office, but hadn't heard anything back yet. I don't know that his staff was ready for such an admission, and maybe they're not sure how to spin this, as he may be facing a re-election bid. I think he's running for re-election. They're all running for re-election every 2 years in the House, but don't know when he might choose to retire. But good for Congressman Rohrabacher. A lot of people are really feeling good about this admission today, and you lifted the hearts of lots of patients. Thank you, sir. Yes, it was pretty gnarly. How appropriate that Jeff Spicoli takes us into the 20 after break after we talk about a lifelong surfer. You know, that automation software, sometimes you might think there might be a ghost in the machine. Happy 420 to our friends in the Mountain Time Zone. Happy 420 no matter where you are. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back with some drug war data mining.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up!
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor, or are you smoking sun-grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at a new study that's come out from the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, Missouri. The title of the post is, As More States Legalize Marijuana, Adolescents' Problems with Pot Decline. Fewer adolescents also report using marijuana. Huh? What's this? Remember back in 2012 when we heard so much from Kevin Sabet and Patrick Kennedy and David Frum, the Project Sam people, about how legalizing marijuana would send the wrong message to the children? And go farther back than that. We can go back to the 2000s when every state that would put medical marijuana on the ballot or have legalization on the ballot that failed in 2004 and 2006 and 2002. And 2010, anytime this would get on the ballot, we'd hear about this message to the children that we'd be sending, that marijuana would be okay and more kids would be using it and there'd be problems and dropouts and terrible, terrible effects from loosening our marijuana laws, from not locking people up over a plant. Well, this study seems to contradict a lot of that malarkey. What they found is they surveyed 216,000 adolescents from all 50 states, and they found that the number of teens with marijuana-related problems is declining, the rates of marijuana use by young people are falling, and this is despite the fact that over the 12-year span measured, 2002 to 2013, we went from, I believe it was 8 medical marijuana states in 2002, to 2013, I believe the number was in the 20s, maybe, or 18, somewhere around there. And of course, by 2013, we had 2 fully legal states in Washington and Colorado. So during this time, when we had a dozen years of the message being sent that marijuana is medicine and we ought not lock people up over their recreational use even, apparently the message isn't getting through. Maybe we need to put it in backwards in an Ozzy Osbourne song or something, right? It needs to be backmasked. I don't know how this, how we're, well, wait, Ozzy, 12 to 17, we need to think younger, Russ. Think younger, I don't know, Ariana Grande, I don't know. But somehow we've got to get this message through to the kids that it's going to make them want to use more marijuana. It's not working, apparently, because fewer of them are using. What they found is that the number of adolescents who had a problem related to marijuana, such as becoming dependent or having trouble in school or having trouble with relationships, declined 24% from 2002 to 2013. Dropped by almost a quarter, folks. We legalized and medicalized all these states, dropped almost a quarter for the children. What about the children, indeed? Also, over the same period, of course, they asked the kids, had you used pot over the previous year? And there was fewer incidences of marijuana use in 2013 than what had been reported in 2002. The rate fell by 10%. 10% lower rate of marijuana use annually by 12 to 17-year-olds after the relentless message of medical marijuana and marijuana legalization. Now, these drops, according to the article, were accompanied by reductions in behavioral problems. Things like fighting, property crimes, vandalism, selling drugs. And they found there's a connection between the two trends. The less likely kids get into trouble, the less likely they get into using marijuana. Now, I think there's also something working the other direction as well. The less likely they get into trouble for using marijuana, the less likely they get angry and belligerent and cause other sorts of problems. The fighting, the property crimes, the selling drugs. Now, the author of the study, Richard Grucia, PhD, he's an associate professor of psychiatry, said, quote, "We were surprised to see substantial declines in marijuana use and abuse. We don't know how legalization is affecting young marijuana users, but it could be that many kids with behavioral problems are more likely to get treatment earlier in childhood, making them less likely to turn to pot during adolescence. But whatever is happening with these behavioral issues, it seems to be outweighing any effects of marijuana decriminalization," end quote. So he's trying to say here that he's trying to blunt the impact of what marijuana legalization or decriminalization is doing. And I think that's fair, right? A lot of, you know, when we look at this, we have to be fair on our side, too, because we say there's a lot of chicken and egg problems when you talk about marijuana and its effect on people and statistics, right? There's a lot of this, you know, correlation but not causation. So can we say that marijuana decriminalization and legalization is leading to fewer kids using or fewer problems for kids that use? No, can't say that directly. But also, it would appear that this legalization and medicalization trend is not causing the problems that our opponents had predicted would come to pass. We aren't seeing more fights. We aren't seeing more suspensions. We aren't seeing more marijuana use. In 2002, 16% had used marijuana. This is age 12 to 17. That number is below 14% by 2013. The marijuana use disorders declined from 4% in 2002 down to 3% in 2013. The lead author, Dr. Grucia, says also, quote, "Other research shows that psychiatric disorders earlier in childhood are strong predictors of marijuana use later on. So it's likely that if these disruptive behaviors are recognized earlier in life, we may be able to deliver therapies that will help prevent marijuana problems and possibly problems with alcohol and other drugs too," end quote. In other words, you catch kids with mental problems early, you get them some treatment, they don't turn to cannabis to self-medicate. He's kind of underlining the fact that a lot of people are self-medicating out there, isn't he? All right, we're back with Government at Work and Representative Susan DelBene from Washington State.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com. Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush. Our strains stretch everywhere, too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network. Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Carson doesn't believe in the Geneva Convention.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
So we're now blessed by, Normal's been here for 46 years, and as far as we know, we've never been addressed by a female member of Congress. Isn't that bizarre? I'm red with embarrassment, but that's the reality. And so for me, I've been at Normal for 25 years, so I feel blessed that I can shake the hand of a female legislator who's going to talk at a podium to us. But just quickly about her bill, there are so many bills. I mean, it's a potpourri of bills in the House, and they range all over this place. But in some ways, Susan's bill is the most streamlined in that it acknowledges something that everybody seems to understand, and that if a state wants to move in this direction, such as hers has, then really the federal government should totally get out of the way, and it's not in violation of UN laws. And so while there are a lot of other bills to compete with, and we've heard from the sponsors of others, and those are much more complicated bills, I'd suggest to you, I really appreciate the fact that yours is in some ways the most streamlined. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, it's a special honor, I think, now. I didn't know I was going to be the first woman to address you. But there are many women in the audience, so clearly we're all represented. So I'm Susan Delbonnet. I represent the 1st Congressional District of Washington State. What I always call the better Washington, but it's a beautiful, diverse district in Washington State, and as you know, we passed legislation in Washington State to legalize recreational and medicinal uses of marijuana. I introduced a bill called the Smart Enforcement Act, and the key piece of legislation we introduced was to try to address the issue that I'm sure many of you have seen with conflict between state and federal law. and also to address issues as we've seen with banking. The kind of core part of my legislation would allow the U.S. Attorney General to provide waivers to states that meet a certain regulatory environment, that is making sure that minors, for example, don't have access. If a state meets those requirements, then the U.S. Attorney General can provide a waiver to those states. It's a waiver from the Controlled Substances Act so that there is no conflict between between state state law and federal law. The important thing, I think, about this, these would be waivers for a few years so that you would be able to see how a state was doing, and then the Attorney General could come back and review that. But the key part of this legislation is it would really provide data and show folks what can happen when states are not in conflict with federal law and do have legalization, to show what really happens. And I think that actually creates precedent and learning to help advise broad federal legislation in the future. And I know you've probably heard from many folks who are pushing for broad federal legislation and descheduling and legalization. But if we're going to have a struggle getting there, one of the things I think that's critical about my proposal is that it really helps states that have legalized move forward, but it also gives real information and data that potentially helps inform federal legislation going forward. And that's also helps move us in that direction. So it's called the Smart Enforcement Act. I know that you've supported it, and I encourage folks to talk about it and support it as well, so that once again, as we have those opportunities, we're able to move pieces of legislation like this forward and address the conflicts that I know are challenging to many states, including ours. So with that, I'll quickly open up for questions and we can, or answers.
Yeah, we're actually from Yeah. But one of the big things that in the industry that we've seen is, I'm a retailer, is that we've seen taxation. I mean, banking, yes, is a huge part of it as well, but I mean, just this year alone, my average tax, federal tax rate was 51%, and it was outrageous. I had to pay tax on almost $500,000 of income that I never paid, like I didn't have, and because I couldn't write things off. It's such a huge part, and this is, you know, small business. And you know, you kid, it's quite pricey. That's to me when I look at with the IRS with that whole piece. I mean, do you see any movement on that? I mean, I just look at this, the IRS going, look how money we're making, why can't we change rules?
Well, I think a lot of these decisions are decisions that are made at the state level right now in terms of taxation, and so I think different states have different kind of tax policies that they put in place. And so that's really going to be the key area, is to focus on the state and to state policy. In terms of what types of tax, you're just saying, but not specific to your business, just taxes.
280E. Mm-hmm. 280E is our biggest, what's stopping, what's killing it. It's. I mean, obviously we can talk about state tax, but on top of that, they have 280E, and any writing off of almost our basic expenses is outrageous.
No, so I'm just feeling particularly loud over here all of a sudden. Definitely, I think if we look broadly, we need tax reform across the board to support small businesses, to support businesses across our country. This is a complicated conversation because our tax code is very, very complicated, and no one wants to lose anything that they have, and so we end up adding more things onto our tax code without removing things. So we definitely have work to do there. We talk generally about comprehensive tax reform, but we haven't really moved on at this Congress. So hope is we'll get to start having that conversation across the board on taxes.
Congresswoman, I got to visit the United Nations General Assembly special session on drugs. They discussed the three international treaties. Does your bill comport with that as far as, you said, waivers from the DOJ and such? Does it address those treaty obligations in any way?
I'm not sure. I'm looking at Lauren on my staff back there, too, to see if she has an answer. So ours is really just a waiver from the Controlled Substances Act for states that meet the requirements that would be set out, and those were the requirements that were set out in the memo. What is it? The Cole memo, like 20 or 12, 12, I think, points in the Cole memo, and so those are in the bill. And so if you meet that bar the U.S. Attorney General then could provide you with a waiver for that state. For, like I said, for three. What's the bill number? Do you know, Lauren?
The bill number, please. 3746.
Sorry, I don't know it off the top of my head. 37, somebody said?
46.
3746. Yeah.
Hi, Congresswoman. Thank you for your time today. My question is, I guess, kind of in relation to what we're doing here today, meeting with members of Congress. Of course, I think most of us in the room would agree that the issue of marijuana legalization speaks to the idea of small government, but that doesn't seem to be resonating with Republican representatives here on Capitol Hill. Do you have any advice for us today before we meet with members on how we can connect with some of the conservative members and bring them on board with this legislation?
Well, I do think, you know, the important part of this piece of legislation is that it's not trying to change laws in other states. It's not saying there's going to be a change in terms of what you want to see in place. And if you don't want to see legalization right now and your state doesn't have it, we're not pushing that on you. We're saying that for states who have laws that make recreational or medicinal or both illegal, that that waivers are potentially available provided they meet those requirements. And that then there's no conflict there, but we're not also impacting others. And I think the hard part with broader pieces of legislation is that folks are fighting that because they think it would change laws in their state that they may not want to see changed. And the opportunity with this piece of legislation is that it also allows states who have legalized, if they have those waivers, then to move forward and we learn. We learn, and we aren't going to be talking about the challenges between the conflict of laws. We'll actually learn what happens going forward, and that will actually create learning that will inform other states going forward and potentially federal policy going forward. And I think that moves us, and, you know, if we learn things not to do, that's learning as well, and I think that's and that's okay. That's part of what everyone needs to know, and I think that's partly, I'd say, the pushback I'd have on those folks is, why aren't we learning? We're kind of trying to learn now, but we're not, you know, the conflicts that are there make it harder to do that. Yeah.
Congresswoman, thank you for speaking with us today. Is there such a thing as a cannabis caucus?
I don't know. I'm looking to see if anyone else knows if there is officially a caucus. I thought there was some type of caucus that someone put together by.
There is on the office. There is on the staff list.
Oh, okay.
There are a group of staffers who meet that's effectively a cannabis caucus. I don't know the members consider that.
Okay, I don't know.
Like, I know Representative Perlmutter, he has a marijuana policy staffer, so I think it's pretty much my office at this point.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I apologize because I have to run off to a hearing myself, but thank you. If you have questions for us, please let us know as we move forward. Lauren and my staff, who's standing back there, or not standing, sitting down back there, has been working on these issues in my office, but we appreciate your ongoing feedback, too, as we try to work with others and hopefully move forward. So thank you so much.
Congresswoman Susan Delmene from Washington State speaking to the gathering of normal activists in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill, who'd gathered for Normal's Lobby Day 2016. You can get that speech plus the speech of the other four representatives, Representative Earl Blumenauer, Jared Polis, Sam Farr, and Dana Rohrabacher, through my SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Or just check out the post at the Cannabis Radio News page, cannabisradio.com/news. We got to take a break and pay some of the bills. And when we come back in the Radical Rant, I'll be taking a look at Ohio's new medical marijuana bill that should become law soon. I've got 16 details you may not know about when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com.
your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping Gondrepreneurs grow.
We love the air.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, inviting you to join me every weekday on CannabisRadio.com for the Russ Belville Show. It's the NPR of POT. We bring you the latest marijuana headlines, cannabis analysis, drug war data, activist interviews, radical rants, and your live calls. Join me every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, live only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I said, on this program, what do they want? My grandchildren and the monster. Oh, did I scare you?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Well, the Senate in Ohio has passed a medical marijuana bill. They've sent it to the desk of Governor John Kasich. He's expected to sign it, and that would give us the 26th medical marijuana state, at least if you define medical marijuana state as one that allows cannabis medicines with tetrahydrocannabinol in them. There are another 16 states, of course, that recognize cannabis medicines low in THC but rich in cannabidiol. We call them the CBD-only states. There's only one of them, Missouri, that has any sort of production of the CBD oil. The rest of the states, people have to get it from, say, Colorado and then traffic it back home. And so that means there's only 8 states left: Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Arkansas, Indiana, and West Virginia that recognize absolutely no medical value to cannabis whatsoever in their state laws. So, with the addition of Ohio and recently Pennsylvania as medical marijuana states, there are now over 179 million Americans, or over 55% of the population, living where cannabis is recognized as medicine. Cannabis with THC in it is recognized as medicine. And best of all, Ohio medical marijuana is the first whole plant medical marijuana in the last 5 states. The activists in Ohio scored a major victory by lobbying for the inclusion of whole plant cannabis for use by patients. Now, the bill had emerged from the House in similar form to the recent laws in Pennsylvania, Louisiana, Minnesota, and New York that allow only for non-smokable forms, the oils and pills and extracts of cannabis. But the Senate amended it to allow for the use of marijuana, but only by vaporization and not by combustion. No smoking, which I'm sure people in the privacy of their own homes will rigidly follow. As rigidly as they follow the "for tobacco use only" signs in the head shops. Now, patients will not be afforded the right to cultivate their own cannabis, however. No home grow. Ohio will also be one of the few medical marijuana states that doesn't allow the use of medical marijuana for the treatment of nausea. something that has been a traditional and scientifically backed use of marijuana for decades now, before medical marijuana era even. And the passage of this bill so swiftly by the legislature, of course, was enabled by two major pieces of citizen activism. The first was the ill-fated campaign of Issue 3 for Ohio in 2015. That was last November, and the state's voters soundly rejected the attempt to create both recreational and medical marijuana due to an unpopular plan to limit commercial grows to 10 investor-owned properties. But during the campaign, polling over the measure indicated supermajority support for medical marijuana. So that then led to this second campaign, headed up this year by the Marijuana Policy Project, to bring a comprehensive medical marijuana law before the people as another initiative. The threat of that more liberal initiative, because it would have allowed for home growing and it would have better protected patient rights, that threat goaded the legislature to act first in an effort to undercut support for that initiative. And in fact, sources are telling me that MPP's initiative won't be able to raise money for more signature gathering after this law is signed, and the initiative is likely finished in Ohio. So that's the basics of the Ohio medical marijuana law as it stands right now. There are some more details as I looked through the law, because some people questioned me as to whether or not it actually did allow for a whole plant. And I was able to find the section that indeed it does allow for whole plant medical marijuana. In the definitions of marijuana, it matches the criminal definition, which includes marijuana. But most specifically, it's section 3796.06. Only the following forms of medical marijuana may be dispensed: oils, tinctures, and number 3, plant material. And then that's followed by edibles, patches, and any other form approved by the State Board of Pharmacy. So it's right there in the law that it allows for plant material. But farther down in the law, it says the smoking or combustion of medical marijuana is prohibited. So you can vaporization of medical marijuana is permitted. So whatever you do, don't smoke those buds that you buy. Also, interestingly enough, this bill has a limit on THC. Now, the plant material can't be any greater than 35% THC. Well, I don't know that this is so bad a limit, because I'm not even seeing stuff that reaches 35% THC here in Oregon. So that's fine, whatever. But the problem is the next line that says that extracts shall be limited to a THC content no greater than 70%. 70% on a concentrate is pretty low, actually. And I don't know why this limit would be placed in the law. I don't see what purpose it actually serves. There's also no firm definition of how much cannabis a person can have. It just says a 90-day supply. And the government's going to figure out what a 90-day supply is later. That was all sorts of problems in Washington State. 60-day supply was defined as, at the time, 15 plants and 24 ounces. So we'll see what 90 days turns out to be. There is interesting and maybe controversial part here, where the department that does the licensing for cultivation, processing, laboratories, and retail dispensaries must give 15% of the total licenses to people who are members of one of the following economically disadvantaged groups: blacks or African Americans, American Indians, Hispanics or Latinos, and Asians. Now this is interesting in the phrasing of this, because it says following economically disadvantaged groups, but stats will show you that Asians aren't economically disadvantaged in this country. Statistically speaking, their median income is greater than white Americans. But I get their drift here. They're trying to make sure that there is minority inclusiveness in this law, and at least 15% of the people of color are getting the licenses. There is also in this bill criminal background checks. Now, this may work against that inclusiveness, because if disqualifying offenses include previous convictions for marijuana crimes, that's more likely to be people of color. And so that kind of goes against your idea of inclusiveness. However, they haven't set what the crimes are yet. They haven't set what is a disqualifying offense. That's going to be set, you know, by the department. So perhaps that can be lobbied on, and we can make sure that it doesn't unfairly penalize people of color. A great piece of news in this initiative is the inclusion of reciprocity. Ohio will recognize other states' medical marijuana cards. That's great news there. We've got in the Ohio bill a protection of parental rights. People using medical marijuana can't be denied parental rights, custody rights, visitation rights, just for their use of medical marijuana. You have to actually show there's harm to the child going on. We've also got a protection for organ transplants. This has happened in some of the states where medical marijuana patients are kicked off an organ transplant waiting list because of their THC content or metabolite content. That can't happen under Ohio's law. They're specifically protected. However, employers are specifically protected in the law to continue discriminating against medical marijuana patients. They can still drug test, they can still refuse to hire, they can still fire people for their use of marijuana, for their testing dirty on a drug test, even if they're a medical marijuana patient. And they made sure that you can't do anything about it. They specifically prevent any sort of lawsuits or injunctive relief for patients who've been screwed over by discrimination. Also, localities will be able to ban dispensaries and growers and processors without a vote of the people, just from their local board or their council. There is also the forfeiture of insurance, pension, and workman comp benefits for people who test positive for marijuana use, and it specifically make sure that people who are medical marijuana patients can be thus discriminated against. We have a definition here to determine whether or not you're under the influence of marijuana, which they specifically exempt from the category of drugs that would be prescribed by a physician, is just 15 nanograms of metabolite in your urine will determine that you are under the influence of cannabinoids at work if they want to deny you your workman's comp or fire you or deny your unemployment and so forth. 15 nanograms of metabolite in urine, which no medical marijuana patient would ever be able to pass. We've got a registry for doctors. If doctors want to recommend medical cannabis in Ohio, they will be forced to get a certificate with the state, file an application. And the recommendations that doctors make for medical cannabis in Ohio will only be good for 90 days. 90-day recommendations. You have to go back to your recommending doctor every 3 months. Now, the doctor only has to give you an examination once a year, but you'll probably be paying a doctor every 3 months to make sure you can stay protected from arrest. So those are some of the details of the Ohio medical cannabis bill, I should say. It's not a law yet, but it is expected that Governor Kasich will sign it, and in doing so, undercut the support for MPP's Whole Plant Home Grow medical marijuana initiative. Gosh, it's almost like I recall somebody last November warning people in Ohio that if they didn't vote for Issue 3, the next medical marijuana they'd get would be non-smokable, dispensary-only, no home grow medical marijuana with a very limited set of conditions. Hell, this one doesn't include nausea, folks. I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. That's all the time we got for Hour 1, but stay tuned. Hour 2 is coming up next. We'll have more to talk about in the wide world of weed. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.